The IRS has stretched its budget enough to render furloughs unnecessary. That's according to Commissioner John Koskinen. He tells members of the House Appropriations Committee the agency has made other tough choices, including freezing all hiring and overtime. Now he's asking Congress for a big boost next year. Well, how did that go over? Reporter Emily Kopp joins me with more. Emily, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so the IRS asked for an 18% increase, and I guess the House Republicans said, you know, you're right. We're going to give you everything you want next year, and let's all go have a nice cup of coffee, right? Is that what happened?
I think that was probably in Commissioner John Koskinen's wildest daydream. But he knew that was not going to happen. No, this committee that he sat in front of, it was the House Appropriations Committee's subpanel on financial services and general government. But the chairman of the full committee, and actually his ranking Democratic member, they were both there as well. People have very strong feelings about the IRS. And frankly, the Republicans on this committee are still trying to think of a polite word. They're still upset about what the IRS has done in the past with regard, for example, to the tax-exempt group allegedly targeting conservative groups who are applying for a tax-exempt status and other things that have happened in the past. They're not beyond that. So while John Koskinen made the argument yesterday is like, let's look for the future. I am trying to shape this agency for the future so that the IRS can bring in the money that the American government is owed and we can use it for the rest of the government, they're still looking to say, okay, you haven't cleaned up fully from that time a couple of years ago. You still need to do that.
Yeah, this is kind of a latter day version of an argument that went, I remember, during the George H.W. Bush campaign against Michael Dukakis. I'm dating myself again here, but Mike Dukakis, then the governor of Massachusetts, said, well, we need to boost the IRS staff so that the government can realize all of the tax money owed to it, which seemed like a reasonable, good government type of approach. But during a presidential campaign, I remember George H.W. Bush answered, well, we don't want a bunch of IRS snoops crawling around and bugging Americans all the time. And that argument carried the day in more ways than one. So then you had the jackbooted thugs era where the IRS was accused of overzealous practices going against taxpayers, although that was under congressional orders to do that. That was what the law required. So this tension seems to go on and on.
It does. And I think that what you just said is a very good point. A lot of what the IRS does is mandated by Congress. So, for example, one of the things that Republicans, including Hal Rogers, again, he's quite powerful. He's the chairman of the full House Appropriations Committee. What they're angry about is that the IRS has to, there's a section of your tax return now that requires you to say whether you have health insurance or not under the Affordable Care Act. Well, these people, these Republicans, don't like the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. They don't like the fact that the IRS has a role in enforcing it. Well, Koskinen made the point, look, this is the law. So just because you zeroed out our budget for technology under the Affordable Care Act, we had to move other things around that we could in our budget so that we could do this, because this is the law that, you know, Congress of, what it was, 2010 passed, and now it's a mandate for us. So he was clearly trying to make the point, like, look, we are into the administration of tax law, but we do not deal with policy or politics or anything like that. We just carry out what you tell us to do.
Now, with respect to the IRS employees, roughly a little less than 100,000 of them, earlier in the year, Koskinen warned that there might be furloughs, but now he says perhaps not.
Yes, he said he, and so this was apparently decided Monday, so fresh off the press. He said to the committee that because they had done a very strict hiring freeze, I believe that they've frozen hiring overall in the agency, which is huge when you think about it being, as you said, it's about 87,000 people, full-time people. And that they've made other cuts, such as no overtime. That is enough to make sure that their budget lasts until the end of September. He had said before that there was a possibility of 2 days of furloughs and a shutdown, but he had worked closely with the union, NTU, the National Treasury Employees Union. And so yesterday they celebrated the news that there would be no furloughs.
All right. And so with respect to that 18% hike that he's asking for next year, which would give, as you report, the agency a total budget of $12.9 billion, besides the fact that it got kind of rejected out of hand, what did Koskinen say that the agency would be able to do if they had that money?
Yeah, well, and to say, look, it wasn't rejected or approved, because there was this was just a hearing, kind of a venting and a question and answer. So I would say I want to characterize all Republicans as, all Democrats as kind of sticking to this party line of, we support the IRS. We realize that your tight budget doesn't let you collect all the money that is owed the government. We want to help you. That's Democrats' line. Republicans have major concerns. But to go to your question about what he says this budget would let them do, clearly it's going to let them improve customer service. He says that they've slashed that, for example, the call centers, that's been highly publicized, and improve audits and hopefully improve the catching of improper payments or inaccurate payments. Because one of the things that he struggles with, Koskinen says that the agency is doing a better job of catching, say, fraudsters who are committing identity theft, but it has a huge problem under the Earned Income Tax Credit program, which basically lets low and middle income families claim a tax credit. And the IRS projects it's going to spend more than $14 billion on those types of payment errors this year. And that's about 20%, more than 20% of the entire amount of credits under the EITC. So it's a huge amount that is going out in the wrong way to the wrong people.
All right. And another point, by the way, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's reporter Emily Kopp. Koskinen also mentioned something I found pretty interesting that you've reported here, that user fees didn't go to where they normally go for the IRS because of the scrambling over to cover all of the activities they have to do with the budget they've got.
Yeah, exactly. Because one of the things that Republicans said is that they wanted the IRS to have such a tight budget, it had to make very tough decisions about where to spend every penny. And the chairman of the subcommittee, Ander Crenshaw of Florida, he said, look, we didn't tell you to cut customer service. In fact, we gave you a little bit more for customer service than we did in years past. But the problem is that doesn't go far enough for customer service, apparently ever. So the IRS has used user fees to supplement, to increase the budget for customer service. Well, it just happens that this year they had to put that towards technology because Congress didn't give them enough money for technology, and that was a must-do under laws like the Affordable Care Act and other laws that, again, they're required to administer.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because the IRS is in many ways a giant calculating engine. And so when it gets a tax hike law, or it gets some kind of provision that's in the tax code that is added by Congress, or it now has to look at some other records it didn't have to look at before in terms of verifying people are covered under the Affordable Care Act and so forth, that all requires technology that goes pretty deep in programming and upgrades and so forth. And they just don't, it just doesn't happen. There's a lot of cost involved to making sure that those laws get carried out.
Yeah. And I do want to say this wasn't all about the budget. Of course, it was mostly about the budget. But John Koskinen, he asked for three things from Congress that don't really have anything to do with the budget, but he said would help improve the IRS's accuracy rate, you know, cut down on tax cheats and the like. And I found this interesting. He said that the IRS now receives taxpayers' W-2 forms by the end of March. So they haven't even received all of them yet. But the agency could prevent a large number of inaccuracies if it received those forms at the same time that employees do, which is in January, because the filing season is from January 22nd to April 15th. So because the IRS now accepts most returns electronically and promises to give refunds within a couple of days, it is giving refunds before it even has those W-2s to check somebody's return against. They run into problems because their audit budget has been slashed, so they can't do full audits if they find errors like that. So they know that they have lots of errors because of the W-2s, but they're getting them too late. So he said that, you know, if we could get them early, and that would, again, require Congress to help.
And he also
the new law.
It looks like he also
could cut down on things.
It looks like he called for greater qualification for people that prepare tax returns too. I don't think there's any legal requirement on what you know to do that.
No, he said it takes more qualifications to cut your hair than to prepare your taxes. And what he was saying, he's like, look, lawyers, they have to go to continuing legal education every year. We just want something similar, like something similar to that. Republicans' retort was, look, if you're saying that people need something like that, the tax code is far too complicated for anyone to be able to logically figure out. And he said, look, that's right, but that's your purview. That's not my purview. So in the short term, you know, people who are tasked with understanding the tax code and are charging others money because they understand that they're going to prepare their taxes, they should have this minimum continuing education.
Yeah, so to prepare taxes, you need only to know how to work a calculator. Whereas to pull a tooth, for example, with a pair of pliers, you've got to go to school for 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm making that one up.
Well, I have a small personal story is that I lived abroad in the Netherlands for a couple of years. And I have to say, going there from here, I was so flabbergasted by how easy it was to file your taxes. I mean, if you are an employee and you have no other income, you don't basically have to file your taxes because it's already been done for you. It's that simple. Whereas here, you know, people spend weekends and sometimes longer just trying to collect all the receipts and everything that they need and trying to understand stuff. So it is a very complicated stuff. But again, that's up to Congress to have the gumption to tackle. Well, of course, the House Appropriations Committee drafts a spending bill, and it's really up to them. You know, Koskinen is making his pitch. He'll continue to do it with the Senate, and I'm sure he'll be up on Capitol Hill again. But it is in the hand of these lawmakers, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be an easy road for the IRS.
All right, reporter Emily Kopp, thank you very much for that report.
Thank you.